Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. You've got your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and I am joined by not only Wood County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Sean Becker. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Pleasure
to be here, as always.
Thanks for being here, Sean. We're also joined by our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Good morning to all friends over there. I encourage you to go to YouTube right now if you haven't already done so. Type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Like their page, subscribe to it, keep up the work on all the great stuff that they are doing over there. We got a lot to talk about, Sean. Yeah. Always appreciate you coming in and bringing in a ton to get into. And I want to talk about those things. And I wanted to ask you about something that I heard in the news yesterday. But I start off right here. How are you doing? How have things been? It feels like it's been a while.
Yeah, I missed last month. I was down in Georgia for some law enforcement training with the FLEXI, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, that all the federal law enforcement agencies in our country, besides the FBI and I believe the DEA, they're over at Quantico. But everybody else goes through this facility, and we've been sending many of our command staff, our leadership, to this academy. It's a 2-week leadership training that I got the opportunity to go to. Three other people at our department have gone through, Scott Sager, Brian Peterson, and Eric Martin, all lieutenants, and then I offered it to other command staff, and they couldn't go. Well, it worked in my schedule. I sat down with my wife, Julie, and I said, hey, will this work? And it did. And I was very fortunate to get the opportunity to go. The training is free. It's sponsored by Homeland Security. And we can get into that a little later on some of the training. But that's why I missed last month. But, you know, we got a great team at the Sheriff's Department where people will fill in to come in and talk about themselves, our department and what their specific position is, and I think that's a great opportunity for the community to see not just one face, but our department. And so we're fortunate that we get people to fill in.
When we first got together, you and I had we didn't necessarily talk about it, but you and I had a goal, both of us, that we share, where we want people to see more than the badge. We want to see the human being behind the badge and understand more of that. And I appreciate being able to bring on different voices, different people. I got to see Jess. I haven't seen Jess in a while. It was great.
She filled in at the last minute. I felt really bad because we were scrambling and like, all right, who can do it? Who can do it? Because we had a major call come up, last month, and she stepped up to the plate.
Did a great job. She was great.
Awesome to hear.
When it comes to the training, what were some highlights for you with the training?
A lot. There's a lot that I brought back to the department, just training opportunities with this organization, Homeland Security, where the facility itself was unreal. Mm. They had their own specific city, built for training, like two city blocks of, like, you have a bar in there, a couple restaurants, you name it. It's like a city where you can run scenarios. They had a specific, training area that had an airplane in it. Airplane hangar, a depot, a train station, where you can have the opportunity of, like, the TSA to run, scenarios, an evidence collection processing building separate. It was just, I was just at all. I did not know. I knew the facility existed, but I didn't really, kind of grasp what was there.
Yeah.
And those opportunities, and they really market themselves to all law enforcement throughout the country. So, while I was there, I was, calling back and saying, oh my gosh, we've got some opportunities to send, especially investigators down here to get some state-of-the-art training. So it's hard to be away, I'll be honest. 2 weeks was hard to be away, but my wife Julie came down during the weekend. And
that's cool.
We got to experience part of the country we never had, the Brunswick area of Georgia, and then we stayed on St. Simon's Island, and then just kind of took the weekend to absorb the area. Went down to St. Augustine, Florida, the oldest city in the country. And
nice.
That was nice to have her come down and then get back into the train. Probably the most impactful, thinking about on the way over here was there was an active shooter train that was very, very impactful, very emotional, where you had a father come in that lost his son in an active shooter situation in Broward County, Florida. And this had only happened only 5 years ago, where he lost his son. And just to talk about the situation, and then the failures of law enforcement. He made it very clear that there are some significant failures that law enforcement didn't do during this tragedy, and it cost lives. And he made it very clear on what happened and what should have happened, and how it could not only save the son's life but other lives as well. And that was a huge eye opener to me. Again, very emotional between all the leadership people throughout the country that were at that training. That hit home.
Yeah.
There wasn't a dry eye in the place as he spoke about his son. You know, it made it very real to us. I mean, these are tragedies that unfortunately are going on throughout our country. And what can law enforcement do to prevent them? And that was an eye opener. It was something that again, after going through the class, that specific part of the class, you know, I was texting our command staff and like, all right, what are we doing with, you know, our policy on active shooter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how often are we training? Are we training enough? Probably not. I don't think any of us are training enough. But, you know, bringing that back and saying, okay, this is going to have to be dealt with, you know, with every single deputy and law enforcement officer, that if you have the situation, this is the expectation is, if that type of situation happens, you're going there as a law enforcement officer, and your priority is to stop it. You stop that right now. I don't care if you're by yourself or somebody else. You're going there. And, you know, that's what we sign up for. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of tragedies in law enforcement in Wisconsin this year that we'll talk about in a little bit. But this is part of what the expectations are for the community. If you have this kind of tragedy occurring within your community, you have to count on law enforcement to get in there and take care of that threat immediately. That's bottom line of the training. And that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
But just to hear somebody talk with, you know, the passion and talk about their loss, I give him a lot of credit to come and speak with not only law enforcement leadership, but people around the country, and the changes that have been made in Florida because of his passion and his desire to make these changes so it doesn't happen again. Like every public school in Florida, by statute, by law, has to have an armed law enforcement officer in that school, if it's a public school. Private schools are different, but any public school now in Florida has to have an armed police officer. So he's making changes, and that message, I think, is resonating throughout our country. And I give him a ton of credit for having the willingness to share his loss,
yeah,
and try to make a difference with you know, with all of us.
You and I, another thing we've talked about a lot is accountability and the importance of that, especially when it comes to standards in our society with different government agencies and that. And certainly, you know, with your field, talking about police officers and the sheriff's department and that. It's interesting to me. When I think of that, though, usually I think of accountability of community with enforcement, you know, and departments and that. I don't think about the accountability of each other. Like you know, accountability with your fellow officers, accountability with your fellow.
Let's be real.
That's not only brave to me to do, but I find it very, like, really, it's like very, very smart. And I really appreciate your perspective on this, that you're coming into this and not, I think a lot of times, and I don't blame anybody for this, but a lot of times we get like this, let alone in our jobs, we get defensive. And we're like, well, hey, that wasn't me, or hey, we did all we could, or we had this, this, and this in line. I love the fact that your immediate response was emotional, that your feeling was not that. And I don't think you're alone in that. I think that we have a lot of our officers, a lot of people. I don't think we talk about this nearly enough either. There's a lot of fields that, oh, you're an empathetic person. You should be a nurse. You should be a doctor or something. I would gather 99%, if not 100% of our enforcement agents are empathetic people. You don't get into this job not caring about people. Nobody's getting in. Nobody's wearing that badge for the paycheck. Not being cool about this or anything, but you know better than I do that. So I think that this stuff, that to hear something like that, certainly, yeah, great, very, very meaningful for him to share that and thankful. But to hear you and your colleagues' reaction to this is also very helpful and insightful.
Yeah, like I said, there's
Modern Marvels, where it's award-winning cheese making. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you.
Florida.
Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry
Ball. You catch yourself quoting TV shows like that, it could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Colbert. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday. My name is James, and I'm telling people every Friday, I'm playing a theme song or a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, get the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And that does fall on us. And again, that was, you know, thinking about it, it's, you know, it's a... Because it brings back the emotion of just listening to somebody talking for hours about the loss and then the situation.
Yeah.
And then the aftermath, you know, and then even further, what can we learn from it? Mm-hmm. You know, what can you take back to whatever part of the country you live in as a, in your profession in law enforcement and make sure that this doesn't happen in your community? So, I mean, that was probably the most impactful thing, but there was a lot of other great part of this training. I'm really, you know, we're very lucky that we got the opportunity to continue to send people down there. It's hard to be away for a couple of weeks. I told Julie, I'm like, I had the passion going to the FBI Academy. That was, you know, that was what I wanted to do. And it just didn't come together. And, but you're gone for 10 weeks. Mm. And I'm like, 2 weeks was hard.
Yeah.
And then if I would have went to the FBI Academy, you know, earlier in my career with you know, younger kids at home, I think that would have been. So you know, that's the passion. I'll never you know forget it. But I also understand the commitment at home that you need, and that would have been hard on her, especially and both of our kids.
This is such a broad question. I think that a subject like this is a case by case thing. And talking about having an officer in every school, I think a lot of people immediately feel like protective of kids, whether it's your own or just kids in general. And like, oh, we want kids to be innocent. We want kids to go to school and just not have to think about these things and all that. And that's a beautiful world, and I would love to live in it, but I don't believe we do.
No.
I'm curious to know how you feel about this, not only as a father, but as a sheriff, the idea of this, because for me, where I grew up, one of my earliest memories is, we got to go a different way into school because they're putting in detectors. They're putting in metal detectors. And I've grown up with this. I you know, but that's part of the reason my family moved us out of Chicago, was to get away from that stuff. And now it's in our communities and every community now. But I think we could spend hours and hours wasting time talking about reminiscing about the good old days or something like that. That's not going to help us any. You can't rewind time. We're only going forward. With that, all that being said, are you in favor of that, of having an officer in schools? And is it more of a case by case thing, do you believe? Like by school thing, I should say.
You know, that's a good question. I mean, we're lucky here in the county with all of our schools that most of them have an SRO at them. You know, you have the smaller communities like Pittsville, but they have they have a police department that the police chief makes sure that he spends time there. And for us, we've got a couple schools in the county that we spend time at, but we don't have anybody full-time at that school in Auburndale. But we're there. The deputies are required to be there during their shift to stop in. And what I do like about that is the students, the faculty, are not seeing that same individual face all the time. Mm-hmm. They're seeing several different deputies that are coming in and getting that opportunity to at least have conversations with them, knowing that we're there. So I think it's a good question to bring up. If it really comes down to what the community expectations are. Mm-hmm. The safety part of it, I'm all in favor of. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at what the changes that have been going on just to all of the schools around here, that they're becoming more safer and safer. And, you know, so it boils down to cost and safety.
Yeah.
For me, I'm always going to be on the side of safety.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy safety, because how much is a human life?
Yeah.
Whether it's a child or an elderly person that was taken by violent means, there's no replacing that.
Yeah.
So the more that we can prepare, and that comes by our training and how we can prevent it by, you know, that community investment, that'll, oh, I'll always err on, or always be in favor of that. The finance part of it, you know, being the position I am, we all have budgets. We all have budgets we need to stay in, but I'm always going to look at, there's really no cost that in my mind to make sure that our public is safe, no matter who they are. I think that we're learning, unfortunately, harshly, with the violence that's been going on, not only to our people in our communities around this country, but also law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, segueing into, you know, right now in Wisconsin, it's been the worst year for law enforcement officers being killed.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not looking at situations where, you know, somebody got into a car accident, which unfortunately does happen. There's four law enforcement officers that have been murdered this year in the state of Wisconsin. In my almost 30-year career, this, not even halfway through the year, it's never happened. And, you know, going to the last funeral for St. Croix County Deputy Kenny Lessig, it was hard. You know, you're in, you know, a gymnasium that the school just canceled school that day, so everybody could be there in Hudson, and you listen to, you know, her coworkers, her sheriff, her community members talk about somebody that, you know, 29 years old, you know, very early on in her career, very early on with the St. Croix County Sheriff's Department, where you had an individual, you know, put his car in a ditch, a criminal, you know, think about, you know, what he's going to do if a law enforcement officer shows up, and then carry it through. And that means murder. And it was hard, you know, to listen. And I've been to quite a few law enforcement funerals, but this one, you know, really struck me with what's going on right now in our state with, you know, the murder of all these officers by gunfire. And, you know, I sat there and prayed, you know, and I'm not saying I'm a really religious person, but, you know, I know what I believe in. And it was an unfair prayer, to be honest to God, because I asked, hey, please don't let this ever happen again to any other law enforcement officer in our country, not just our state, but our country. And the reality sets in, though, as I'm sitting there thinking, it's going to, you know, it's going to happen. And then what do you think of from there? And it's like, how do you prepare as a law enforcement leader if it happens in your community? You know, then that I started thinking of that and how we can, unfortunately, you know, think about how we can prepare in our agency and in other agencies within the area, you know, and then you look at what can the community do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start thinking of that, and I'll tell you what, James, it's never old to hear somebody come up to any law enforcement officer and say, thank you for your service, extend their hand and shake our hand and say, hey, I got your back. You know, that goes a long way and reaffirms that what we're doing out there is, hey, we're putting our lives on our line for our communities that we serve. You know, and on patrol, you know, when officers or deputies see a yard sign, not a political sign, but that yard sign that says, you know, we back the blue, you know, that reaffirms, you know, how we feel and doesn't get old. Or you see the thin blue line flag, you know, flying at somebody's residence that it's not a law enforcement officer. I mean, those are things we need.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Cancer risks cause concern at Riverside Park. Brittany Merlot has more details.
An updated risk assessment for a Wausau park shows toxic compounds of dioxin at levels high enough to cause an unacceptable cancer risk, prompting recommendations to immediately limit exposure to those areas in Riverside Park. The Wausau pilot and review reports that city officials haven't said whether they'll comply, and state officials are recommending interim actions that include covering the contamination zone with landscaping fabric, toss wood chips on it, and using signage to notify people about the potential exposure there. The director of Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, Stephen Lester, says the cancer aspect is crucial,
you know, because dioxin is generally considered the most potent man-made carcinogen ever tested.
The Raptors take on the Mallards at home tonight after beating them 9-4 yesterday. First pitch at 6:05.
I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News. kids growing up and seeing an officer and being that familiar. Maybe, you know, there wasn't anybody in school. You knew the janitor, you knew the principal. You know, I'm thinking more in grade schools than that. The idea of, oh, there's Officer Joe, and you know, and they get more familiar with that and everything. I'm sorry to pull your name out there, but I just out of nowhere, you're the one. I could have chosen 1,000 names, and I had to choose one or the other person in the room. But having a little more opportunity for that, and a little more of like, one of the things that frightens me is the idea of kids growing up and being afraid to talk to police officers. I grew up in a very, very violent, negative neighborhood, a lot of negativity towards that stuff. But nobody was ever afraid to call the police. Like, not one adult in that neighborhood ever said to me, you don't want to talk to them or something like that. It was still the first line of defense for us. Even though we knew they may not show up right away or any of these things, like, it was still where we were. That should speak to people. That should tell you a lot right there. That even in the worst of circumstances, the first thought is our office. We're almost instinctively go that way. If that's something that you care about, if that's something you feel, and your mind goes there, you should have some of these positions for these people. And the idea of us shaming and putting more emphasis on that there's a line you don't cross in society, and this was one of them. As kids growing up, that was the way. It was almost an automatic death sentence if you fought an officer, let alone did something violent like this. Getting back to that standard is something that I think we need to do as well. Not just for us as a community and for the safety of our societies, but I come back to this all the time. How many little kids right now growing up and seeing these things going on are going to want to grow up to be a police officer? Like, especially if all they see is negative, 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 and all they see the coverage of and everything. Accountability is important. We need that in society. You also need to cover the whole story. You also need to have all angles of stories and all different, and understand that there, everything in life is a gray area.
Here's what's happening. I think
we've got a little more time before we go to our first break. I wanted to touch on this. I saw the other day on the news that recently our Rapids officers helped out in Oregon with a sex trafficking that I heard about. I don't know if this is the Rapids Police Department, so I didn't know if you had heard anything about this, but I did see an opportunity to talk about sex trafficking in the state.
Yeah, that's a Blossom Festival, June 15th through the 18th, 2023.
Join us as we celebrate our blossoming
because it doesn't get imported very often around the whole family, including carnival, live music, arts, parade, and more.
Known for our rich cranberry heritage and special events, the four-day event highlights and supports outstanding groups in our community. Traditional favorites include the Berry Fest Raffle, the Dairy Berry Breakfast, Cinema Under the Stars, Kids Fishing, Arts and Crafts, Parade, and the Duck Derby. Like, hey, for more information, visit blossomfest.com or check out their Facebook page.
Get something.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Biden. I'm here to help you assess your finances and
you've seen it more in the bigger cities, but
let's ensure you have a strategy for success.
Like I just
to get started,
about
call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
That situation that he's brought up.
Here's your forecast from
Wolfgang
Grow Radio,
very often
WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with highs around 76. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows level off around 43. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, high of 76. Upper 70s Friday and Saturday, with a chance for scattered storms Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Fischinski. Currently, it's 63.
With them because their networking capabilities go throughout our entire state and beyond. Mm-hmm. So we're fortunate if we do have a complaint of that nature, we'll definitely obviously investigate it, but we're going to check, you know, or work with our resources, and DCI is probably the biggest one that we will, because they have, you know, agents just assigned to that specifically working with it, and that just brings quite a bit more resources for us to, you know, work in the investigation.
I've done this poll before where I'll ask listeners, hey, do you think this or do you think that? And one of the things I've done recently, it was a couple of weeks ago, I started doing it, talked to about 20 people and from Nakusa, Port, you know, around the area and stuff, and asking, do you think sex trafficking is something we have to worry about in central Wisconsin? And almost, it was 1 to 20 people, one person felt that it was an issue. Everybody else was like, not here, not here. That frightened me. That feared me, because I know for a fact it's an issue here, because I pay attention and I talk with you once a month, and that's so I'm fortunate. I'm a little more in the in on that stuff. But I any opportunity to bring this up and make sure, again, there's a big difference of trying to make people afraid. I'm not looking to do that, but make you aware. You know that cars are fast, it can hurt you. I don't think you should be afraid of cars.
Right. No, I completely agree with you. And you'll see it on the news every once in a while, somebody that's trying to solicit a minor online. My daughter, Jordan, works for Nutley County Sheriff's Department, and she volunteers to help out their investigation unit with, talking with people that want to have sex with a minor. And the desire is out there all over, and you'll see people get caught up in it. You know, periodically, it doesn't matter if they're from Wisconsin Rapids or Wausau, and once, you know, they're chatting with somebody that they believe is an underager and they want to follow through with that, meet with them at a hotel, then they get arrested. But the desire is out there. And so that's something that, as we talk about this topic, that should tell you the desire is within our communities that there are individuals that want to meet up with people that are underage. And those individuals that expectation of meeting with them is for sex. And they're probably, if it's happening, they're probably being trafficked. These are juveniles that probably run away and have worked with, you know, somebody that brought them in that's going to help them, and now they're using them. And that should be something that people, you know, you'll see it on the news every probably once a month, or even maybe less, or maybe more. It really depends, where people will get, you know, tied up in these situations where their expectation is to hook up with a minor, have sex with them, and then walk away. That's illegal in a sense, but if you think about it, that minor is probably being trafficked.
Yeah.
And these are people that are just getting caught for it. What about the people that aren't being caught for it, and where they're hooking up with, you know, these juveniles at wherever the locations might be? Jordan's told me it's not just exclusive to a hotel. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be a parking lot. It could be anywhere. But the people should understand is there's the desires for individuals within our communities that want to hook up with these people that I believe are being trafficked.
And just to piggyback on that, it's not just little girls, it's little boys, it's both sexes, and it's keeping an eye on these kids and protecting them as a society, not just all that being on your guys' shoulders, but us as community members seeing something, saying something, exactly. Keeping your eyes open.
Yeah, if something looks suspicious, it's okay to call. Turning away, what does that say? I mean, it might be an okay situation that you're observing, maybe, but if it didn't feel right, it didn't look right, call us.
If I'm driving around in a van with the windows blacked out and I get pulled over and somebody, you or somebody else says to me, hey, we had a question about this van, et cetera, et cetera. I got nothing to hide. I got no issue with this.
Exactly.
I'm glad. Hey, thank you for making sure that I didn't have a little kid in here or something like that. I would think that a human being would be kosher with that, would be able to roll with that. It's just, again, as part of our job as society to protect children, too. It doesn't just fall on police officers and sheriffs and that. I hope that's understood by the world in general. Yeah. That there's a lot that falls on your guys' shoulders alone, but not this. This is on all of us. These school shootings, these kids getting trafficked, any of this stuff, it's on me, it's on all of us, and we all need to take accountability for these things to hopefully make them better.
Exactly. No, that's a great point. We're all on the same team to keep not only our children safe, but all of us safe.
We'll take a quick commercial break, come back, and we'll have more with our Wood County Sheriff's Department and our great friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media here on Midday Magazine. I gotta get used to saying midday. Gotta get used to that. Welcome back to Midday Magazine here at WFHR. Got your host, James. We're joined by our friends in Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Say good morning and good afternoon to them over there. And, of course, Sheriff Sean Becker from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Always appreciate you being here, Sean.
I can't say enough positive things about the partnership we have with you guys. Really appreciate you.
I wanted to get into the new jail with you. Just any updates on that. I always like to check in and see how that's going. I got to say, it has not gotten old to me yet, seeing those cranes and seeing all the work getting done. Like, there's something about that just brings up the city kid in me. I love it.
It's pretty pretty surreal, going through my career and hearing that it's not going to happen, it'll never happen in your career, and, you know, over and over and over again. And then, as I always say, you know, I give so much credit to our county board and sitting down and looking at the whole big picture of things and the future. They did it awesome. I know it wasn't the most popular decision for everybody, but they did it right. And yeah, it's going really well. You know, knock on wood. It's on schedule. The Samlos group that's overseeing the construction of the facility is doing a great job.
Yeah.
So I things that are on schedule, yeah, you can't miss it. You know, with the cranes there and you know, putting the steel beams in and the walls, and they've done an outstanding job with the designing of the jail itself. And then you have a historic building with the courthouse and the historical society. They're, you know, thankfully they're paying attention to this, and they have some requirements. You have to match the courthouse, you know, and they, if you look at it now with the outdoor panels that have been put in, it's a very close match.
Huh.
And once the, you know, the jail's done, they'll get to start working in the sheriff's department. That'll be a really nice buffer between the courthouse and the new jail. It'll be a nice open air, not open air, but open, you know, glass.
Open concept. Atrium, open. Yeah, yeah.
You know, that you can walk in, get through security, go to the courthouse, or go over to the sheriff's department or jail. So it's going really well. Ruben Bentassel, our ground supervisor, has been doing a phenomenal job, not only overseeing this huge project, the biggest project that our county has ever took on, but also his regular job of all the grounds of the, not just the courthouse, river block, all of the county, you know, buildings that he's got to supervise as well. And he's been doing just an absolute phenomenal job, you know, just every day looking at, you know, what's been being done and then catching things that were supposed to be done that weren't. So Ruben's done just a fantastic job. So, no, I appreciate you bringing it up. On Memorial Day, they did a super solid thing with the cranes.
Yeah.
You see those flags?
Yes. Oh, yes.
It was
that was really cool.
That was just, you know, when we had our ceremony in front of the courthouse, and just they had a position perfectly. Huge flag, and the way the wind was blowing was right on top of us. So something.
It gave me goosebumps. Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. So, no, the project's going really well.
Good.
Again, broken record here, but thank you to our entire county board and the community, everybody that has supported the project.
I know that I want to wrap up when we today on Bluegrass at the Lake. Sure. I'm looking forward to talking about that, of course. But I also know that you bring usually a lot to the table to talk about. Did you have anything you wanted to get into?
A couple of quick things, and then that'll be great to end with that. It's a few of our team members' birthdays. Corey Lee, Sergeant Lee. I put a nice Facebook picture of him on online.
We'll check that out, everybody.
Yeah, please do, because it's an older picture of him posing with a cake a few years ago on his birthday. But we have Corey's a great friend of mine, and he gives it back, so don't worry. He'll probably get even some way, shape, or form. Deputy Shannon Tollison, his birthday, and then also Deputy Riley Wiersky. So huge birthday to those guys. Call it my wife. We just hit our 32nd anniversary.
Mazel tov. Congratulations. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we went up north for a couple days, cool. Did some fishing, went out on Muskie Lake, and we were in a small boat, and it would have been nice to hook into a muskie. I had a follow-up, but I don't know if I would have, she would have been able to net it. And she knows it, too. But it's fishing and just got away, so that was awesome. Charlie Hugesteger, one of our captains, he graduates from Command College at the UW Friday. So we'll be going.
Congratulations.
He'll be the third one to go through that. And then Kelly Trzynski got promoted and will be moving into jail in a leadership position. And Mitzi Ford, who used to work with us, is going to come back and take her position. So, those are a couple of things that I wanted to bring up. And
excellent.
Yeah, we could talk about Bluegrass and then maybe Mary's Place. Mary's Place.
Yeah, let's start with Mary's Place, because we got a little more time here before we have to wrap up. I wanted to get into this, too. I was hoping we'd have time for this. How is things going over there? It looks construction-wise like things are going well. From my perspective and talking to people in the community, there was a positive vibe about it right away. But there's a little bit of concern. I feel like a lot of that has been answered, and now I'm just hearing about a kind of a positive vibe about it from the community.
Yeah, it was a vision to bring Mary's Place down to Wisconsin Rapids. There is a Mary's Place up in Marshall. It's been up there for several years, and it's transitional housing. It's not a homeless shelter, and I think that was probably the biggest concern that people had within the Wisconsin Rapids community. And I think we as a team. You know, Human Services, our county board, all the people that are part of Mary's Place did an outstanding job of getting the information out what Mary's Place is about. It's transitional housing for people that are struggling, that they're on the brink or they are homeless, and they just need some help to get through, whether it's a week, a few days, or a few months to get them on their feet, you know, get them employed, and then get them out on their own. That's the goal. I mean, and I think once all those questions were answered, you know, and I get the concerns with the neighbors, they think, you know, we're going to be bringing in, you know, a homeless shelter and all those issues that come with it. And no, this was a good vision. It's a good thing for our community. People are struggling with housing, and what do you do? I mean, leave them on the streets, leave families on the streets. This facility is going to have the opportunity, if there's, you know, a few families out there that are struggling, that are homeless, they can come here and live for a short time, get on their feet, and move forward. So a lot of people, you know, made this happen. We've been talking about Legacy. I know Legacy does such a phenomenal job giving back to our community. They stepped up and donated a lot of money to help this project to see it through. And then there's a lot of people in the community that also stepped up that, you know, whether it was cash donations or just items like furniture or things that are needed for Mary's Place, they did it. And that's just very rewarding for all of us to see people stepping up to help people that truly needed the community.
Yeah.
You know, so that's going to be a dedication ceremony coming up next Tuesday.
Oh, it is next Tuesday. Yeah. Wow, that came quick.
Yeah, huh. at noon. And then I know they're accepting applications right now, and they should be able to start occupying, I believe, like a week from this coming Monday.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's come on. Well, it's nice to see the vision of so many people come together and complete it. You know, Adam Fisher on our county board, this is one of the things that he's very passionate about. And he was overseeing the One Mary's Place in Marshfield. And then, you know, hey, he saw the need being, you know, a county board supervisor that Wisconsin Rapids could use something like this as well. And, you know, start to push that along. And then just to see all the people that joined along just to make sure it was going to happen. So, yeah, it'll be an exciting week next week to dedicate a Mary's Place here in Wisconsin Rapids. Good location. You know, you're not too far from the YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got resources that aren't very far, so that people are struggling not only with housing, but if there's some other needs that they can be set up with, they can be, and that's part of Mary's Place.
No economy is strong enough to where it couldn't use some more workers. Mm-hmm. It couldn't use some more people interacting with it. Little quick story time with James. Throughout this last two school years, been picking up a young lady, Padme, my friend Laura's sister, daughter, from Brams. And I take her back through town here to get her to home and stuff. And Padme's a great, she's such a cool kid and all this. And she's got a great empathetic heart. And we were driving around, and it was one of the first times I picked her up. And we're driving through to get over to the other side of town. And we go past the building that will be Mary's Place. As we're going past it, she starts talking about how in school, her and her friends were talking about how great it would be if there was just a building for people that needed housing or needed a home that they could live in for a little while and get on their feet. Not her words exactly, but basically Mary's Place. She did not know about I think a seventh grader or whatever, not exactly like keeping up to date on all the news and everything, you know, as none of us do at that age. But I was blown away by not only the empathy and that her and her friends had, but by, okay, even kids get this. Even little kids get this and understand this. So adults, for one, have no excuse not to understand. But also, I would hope that even if you have a concern with any of these things, that you will come down to the fact of, oh, this is what we do. This is what, especially here in America, but I would think in society around the world, this is what we do. We look out for each other. We give each other not a handout, a hand up. That's what Mary's Place is. It is not charity. It is not about, patting somebody on the back and telling them it's going to be okay. It is those things. It is a little bit of those things, but it is also, hey, I'm here to help get you on your feet. I'm not here to help you just keep doing the same old here. I'm here to help you get on your feet, add to society, which is a taxpayer, which is a person working, taking out a job that is unfilled. etc., etc., etc. Like this helps society. This is for the betterment of our community, not just these individuals, but for all of us.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's gratifying to hear that a younger,
yeah,
you know, younger person, a cool kid, has seen that and absorbs it and is willing to talk about it and say, oh, look, you know, because I'm sure that there's classmates that parents are struggling.
Yeah.
And they see it, you know, and I think we all remember that going through school. You knew the families that were struggling, yeah, you know, for one reason or not, they were struggling. And that's what's, you know, exciting to me about Mary's Place with the facility that's being completed now, is that there are opportunities for families to come in and, you know, hey, reevaluate life. And there's going to be, you know, counseling services available. There's so many things connected to it. It's not just a place to live. There's expectations there that you're going to get a job. You're going to be looking for work. If you're struggling with addiction, there's going to be opportunities for people to come in and help you through that. You know, therapy, all that stuff is connected to this. It's not just a place to lay your head. No, there's going to be expectations if you want to live there that you have to follow through on. And that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. There's so much more to it that I'm all in for helping people. And yeah, this is a great way that so many people are connected to, and it's not just the sheriff's department. There's so many people that believe in this, and that's what is exciting to see. You know, that it betters our community.
It's not certainly a positive necessarily, but it is part of my upbringing. One of the first things that I saw was homeless people growing up, and getting to talk with them and know them by name, seeing them every morning. Some of these things, I still can picture some of these faces and everything, and knowing them and getting to talk to them, I found right away that, oh, well, this is a former veteran, or this is a former person who worked on State Street like a year ago and was wearing billion-dollar suits and all this and everything, and now they're here. I learned these stories. So I think that I'm in a weird way spoiled in this department on that part of things. But for most people out there, way too many, they have this image of their head of what a homeless person is or a person struggling is. And I guess we have to update that to some of them, to the audience, to some of the people out there when it comes to that, because you look around the room and that's a person that could be struggling. Like, right, there's we know this from the ALICE report, the United Way does every year, and seeing the statistics from that. We know it from a number of different angles that almost all of us are in a position of one medical disaster or one financial thing, huge thing, and we're all in that spot and needing help. I think if there is a silver lining to the opioid crisis, it is what the addict looks like. What we used to think of what an addict is, it's this person that looks like this, and this. And now it can be anybody can look like that and stuff. And I'm a big believer in finding silver linings and in the hardest of times. Yeah. And I think that we've done that a little bit with this, but it's still, we come into these situations and it's, oh, I don't want, oh, they're going to bring a bunch of violence, they're going to bring a bunch of this or what have you and everything. And I feel a concern there. When I heard community members, not a lot of them, but when I would hear a community member say something like that, my first question would be is, do you know where that our police officers here in town patrol everywhere? Like, there's not an area in this town that they ain't covering, that they've got their bases covered. Like, for one, just for one. So even if there was any truth to that. But more so, talk to these individuals.
Right.
Share a conversation. Like there's this guy Charlie that I remember, and I always will. He was a veteran. He was in Vietnam. He was a great guy. Had a struggle with addiction and ended up right outside our high rise when I was a kid. And he was there longer than my family was there. And this guy could not look more intimidating. Could not look more scary. Worn out dreadlocks, you know, a whiter guy, so a lot of scars and bruises you could see on the skin, a lot of these things. Not exactly the most approachable individual. I will never forget him giving me money for school so I had money for lunch. Mm. He did. Like, that's the people. That's I'm not saying every single homeless person you run into or every single person struggling is going to be a good person. But the majority of people in that position, you talk to them, it's just a human being. It's no different than what you and I talk about with our officers and everything. They're not just a badge. They're a human being. You know, you talk to people, and I really feel like a lot of this gets, you know, shuffled out a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, very touching story. you know, something mm-hmm. you'll never forget.
Yeah,
get that
never.
Opportunity when somebody, you know, I mean, you nailed it right in the head. You took the time to talk to somebody where most people wouldn't, you know, get a story. I mean, everybody's got a story, no matter, you know, who they are or what they do. And it says a lot about your character for just to sit there and to talk to somebody. And well, look what happened. You had your back when you needed it.
Yeah.
Just for a meal. So that's pretty touching.
It's a lot of my dad's credit. My dad was one of those guys. He'd show up on the L train and he'd sit there and talk to somebody for like start talking about Mayor Daley and end up talking to Cubs at the end. And I'm like, Dad, who I didn't know you know that. Yeah, I didn't know you knew that guy. So I don't know who that is. I have no idea who that guy is. My dad's just one of those people, like, really good at talking with people and helped me learn that that's the way to live life, talking to people. You know, interacting with people. I'm not the most social person, but the older I get, the more I try to be, because I think the best part of life is people.
Well, I agree. And life's too short.
And one of my favorite things about people is when they can take tragedy and turn it into something beautiful. Yeah. And that is our friends at Bluegrass at the Lake have done this.
Yeah.
I tell it to her every time she joins us. I love talking with her, and I love talking about this event. I think it's a nice way for us to be able to wrap up with Bluegrass at the Lake.
Yeah, it was interesting when I met Carolyn. It was just a thought, an idea of, hey, we want to do something for your Wood County System team. And I'm like, I knew Bluegrass at the Lake was out there because in previous events, we were notified of it. Hey, we got a pretty good size event at Lake Wasicha. Just want to put it on your radar. We don't expect any law enforcement issues, but hey, just something to be aware of. And so I was aware of the event, but never attended. When Carolyn gave us a call, Carolyn Saylor, and said that this is what we want to support. And I have to give the credit to Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department, especially Jason Joling, having the conversation with Carolyn and bringing up that, hey, this might be a good opportunity to support our CISM team. And just a little bit of information about CISM,
mm-hmm.
Critical Incident Stress Management Team, is something that was established a few years ago. And Katie Siz, who's been on the show before, is a big part of it. Hey, we need to do something for our first responders. And she or we didn't develop CISM. It's been out there for a long time, but it's something that we felt passionate about, the mental health of not just our law enforcement officers, but all first responders. The fact of the matter is that we respond to many tragedies throughout our community. We see a lot of hard things. And then, back years ago, it was toughen up, deal with it. Now that is completely different because we lose too many, not just law enforcement, but all first responders in their career or suicide.
Yeah.
And this fit in to help people getting through. When you see a tragedy, you deal with it, you do your job, you figure out what happened and you move forward, but you really don't move forward, right? And so when we have a critical incident, whether it's a traffic fatality, or we responded to somebody that it's some sort of accident or anything, what happens is the CISM team will get notified by whether it's the shift commander or somebody through dispatch, like, hey, we had this incident happen. Here are the people that responded to it. Not just, like I said, law enforcement, the fire departments, the EMTs, the first responders that went to it. We're going to hold a debriefing session for people that, hey, it's not mandatory to go, but we encourage it. And we've been doing that now for years, and that's really helping our first responders, get through that tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, if people are still struggling, after, that debriefing session,
mm-hmm.
Then we can set them up with professionals, or a chaplain service or something. So there's continued follow-up with people that, saw something, tragic. For me, that always, I remember all the, scenes, especially when I was accident reconstructionist, but when you see kids hurt, I can tell you right now, all of them, and how they bothered me and how I bottled them up and how that, what the outcome was, and here's a situation that now we're being proactive with, dealing with our people that deal with it. And that's what the CISM team does, so Carolyn, Jason talked her into it, and their committee, and boom, they took it, and they ran with it. So this weekend will be the bluegrass at the lake, out of Lake Wasecha. There'll be many bands out there starting Thursday night. A local band, Southbound.
Southbound.
They're awesome.
Great band. You
know, Todd Twait. His team, a great band, been here around here for a long time. Mm-hmm. Perfect band to kick it off.
They'll be performing 7 to 11.
All right. Well, I'll be there. No, and let's not forget why Bluegrass at the Lake is there. It's to honor, you know, Carolyn's daughter, Brittany. And getting the opportunity to sit and just listen and Carolyn to tell us the message. Mm-hmm. And not to forget about her and what she went through, and all this is to honor her every year. It's like, it's humbling that she would pick, their committee would pick us to, to donate these funds to, that they, they do something every year for something local, and it's very humbling, but, thank you to Carolyn Saylor and everybody else in the committee that chose us. So you'll see a lot of our first responders out there throughout the weekend. We're going to try to get as many of our emergency vehicles out on Saturday for the Touch a Truck event. I'll be out there periodically throughout the whole weekend. But what a great band. The weather looks good.
Yeah.
I mean, a great thing to do. And there's going to be so many different bands out there that should be a great event. Please come out and attend.
It's going to be at Red Sands Beach, Lake Wasecha, going on 8th, 9th, 10th. It's going on Thursday through Saturday. As we mentioned, on Thursday, you're going to have Southbound from 7-Eleven. On Friday, Art Stevenson, Highwater, J.B. Shee, the Millie Billies, River Valley Rangers, all amazing names and amazing bands. That kicks off at 4 and goes to midnight. On Saturday, things wrap up 2 to midnight. You're going to have Biscuit Creek, Handpicked Bluegrass, Red Ben and the Missing Miles, good name, Ryan Thompson and the Town Line, and Dig Deep. Nothing but great bluegrass. I journalistically should mention I love bluegrass, so I'm a big fan of this. And I want to make sure to, and I love family events too, and this is for kids under 18 are free to get in with a paying adult. So this is a family thing. There's going to be plenty of food and beer and wine and soda, all provided by our great friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Lions Club. And a big shout out to them and thank you to them. And on Saturday, that new community day, the three family free events that are going on with Touch a Truck, which we're so happy to have and bring 9 to 1. You got the first responders meet and greet that you were touching on there, and the festival fair from 10 to 3, and Flipping Your Griddle from 11 to 2, the second annual kickoff, which I know how much Carolyn loves, and I know how much the community loves. That is a fun one right there.
Yeah, she's asking me to cook. I'm like, I don't think so. Yeah, no, and then you look at look at the poster here of all the sponsors. The shows. How much the community is behind this event. Just to highlight one good friend of mine, Mike Toronto, and his TCI Consulting Group, great friend, and he surprised me that he sponsored it. I was like, Mike and Allison, like, hey, thanks. But it's not fair just to highlight one, all of them. Everybody stepped up in this community to sponsor this event, and it's humbling again that the committee, and especially Carolyn, thank you for sharing, Carolyn, your story.
Yeah.
About Brittany and what this is all about, and then selecting, something that is so important to us, our mental health.
It's very similar to the family and the people over at Dove's Nest, and what people, these families can do when they share this is so brave and impactful. And I just thank the sailors. I thank them, the Dove's Nest people, all these families that are able to do this, and greatly appreciate them. I did want to mention that lawn chairs and blankets are welcome. No carry-ins for this event. Parking wise, keep in mind, give each other grace. It's going to be a little more traffic down there maybe than usual. So look out for each other.
Yeah, definitely.
Sean, we're done. We wrapped up. You did it again. One more time. Appreciate you so much, sir. It does seem like it sometimes too. But really, thank you to you, your team. You guys stay safe and strong out there. And from my dad, thanks for the card. As always, appreciate you, sir. Appreciate you.
I'll bring them to him.
You take care and have a great day.
You too.
And we'll be back with more Midday Magazine tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.